Good morning, everyone. What a beautiful, beautiful morning. Blue sky. It's, I think, the first Sunday we've had blue sky for our Sunday morning worship. It's great to see. The humidity and the heat of the week has broken a little bit. Seems like a beautifully fresh morning. I think that's great. So welcome, everybody, and it's great that everybody's here. And we'll start with the call to worship this morning from Psalm 119, verse 129 to 136. Your statutes are wonderful, therefore I obey them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant, longing for your commands. Turn to me and have mercy on me, as you always do to those who love your name. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. Redeem me from human oppression, that I may obey your precepts. Make your face shine on your servant, and teach me your decrees. Stream of tears flow from eyes, for your law is not obeyed. Let us pray. Our Father, be with us this morning as we listen and learn about your word. Thank you for all of the blessings you show to us. We know that not everything always goes the way we want it. There are many trials and tribulations, and there are good times and bad times. Be with us in everyday struggles, as well as all of our triumphs. Sometimes life gets us so busy, we forget about thinking of your name and your blessing. Help us to always find time in our busy lives to remember your presence and be with us as we go about every day of our lives. We pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. This morning, Pastor Tim is going to lead us with our music, and Brother Paul will lead us with the sermon this morning.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
The sun is moving, so if I'm reflecting off my head into your eyes, that's the Spirit telling you something. This week, I had the opportunity of singing in German. And as you know, I am fluent in English. So sometimes trying some new things and being able to do that is fun. And I picked out some songs today that will be unfamiliar. We're going to learn them together. But I think that they very much speak to worshiping outside, including the parts of lament, including the parts of growth all together. So thank you for trying this with me. The first song we're going to do is from this fantastic group called Common Hymnal. It's easy enough to sing, but the chorus in particular. Now, I have been told that Mennonites can sing in harmony. Yeah, we can't respond in harmony yet. We'll work on that. But this is very, very easy melody, and you're welcome to sing off in harmony, whatever you'd like to do. I'll sing the chorus for you. It just says, sing hallelujah, or sing hallelujah. It goes, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, heaven's here. So it's very simple. Let's try that together. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, heaven's here. Oh, it's beautiful. Well, we'll do our best on the rest of the song, but if you're able to, just follow along, and if you can't sing it out loud, pray it in your heart. It's not just a state of mind when your heart touches mine. Hallelujah, the Lord I believe. No, it's not a fantasy when your spirit speaks to me. Hallelujah, the Lord I believe. Sing hallelujah. 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 Heaven's here. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah, heaven's here. That's great. Let's do that verse one again. It's not just a state. It's not just a state of mind. When your heart touches mine, hallelujah, Lord, I believe. No, it's not a fancy. When your spirit speaks to me, hallelujah, Lord, I believe. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, heaven's here. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, heaven's here. It's a love offering. When your children start to sing, hallelujah, Lord, we believe. When we lay our burdens down, we will stand on common ground. Hallelujah, Lord, we believe. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, heaven's here. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, heaven's here. Not hidden in the distance. You're not hidden in the distance, but you're dancing all around us. We bring our hearts before you just as one. You're not hidden. You're not hidden in the distance, but you're dancing all around us. We bring our hearts before you just as one. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, heaven's here. Last time. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, heaven's here. That was beautiful, thank you. This next song is called Beautiful Things. One thing that we sometimes miss in worship, I think, is the ability to lament. When we look at the Psalms, we see a lot of lament and a lot of hope even in the midst of that. All this pain, I wonder if I'll ever find my way. I wonder if my life could really change at all. All this earth, could all that is lost ever be found? Could a garden come out from this ground at all? Start that from the beginning again now that we're a little more familiar with it. From all this pain.
All this pain, I wonder if I'll ever find my way. I wonder if my life could really change. Garden, come out. from this ground at all. You make beautiful things. You make beautiful things out of the dust. All around, hope is springing up from this old ground. Out of chaos, life is being found in you. You make beautiful things. You make beautiful things out of the dust.
Next one, I Surrender All, will be more familiar. The lyrics are slightly different, but sing whatever you're comfortable with.
All to Jesus I surrender all, to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily. All to you, my.
Well, thank you for singing those new songs with me. I didn't hear anyone singing in German, so next time we'll give that a try too. One of the reasons we repeat some of those songs too, one of my sons will let me know that he doesn't like the music when I play it. But then afterwards, suddenly he was humming to himself, "Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah." I was like, "Oh, what are you singing there? This is a song he's told me he doesn't like." He's like, "We sang that at our old church, Dad. Of course I know that song." And having those songs start imprinting on our hearts changes us in some ways. Well, let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you are good. We thank you, Lord, that heaven is here. That wherever we go, through our lives, by our prayers, in the little things of love, in the big things of love, that we are a part of bringing your kingdom come and your will be done here in this place, here in our neighborhoods, here across the street, here throughout the world. Lord, open our eyes and our hearts so that we may love as you love, so we may see as you see. Guide our feet to where you would have us go so we can participate in what you're already doing all around us. We pray, Lord, that we would not hold tightly onto that which we call our own, but that we would recognize that everything is yours. Everything is your creation that you have gifted to us. May we live with open hands, sharing, giving, being generous, inviting to the table, walking across the street just to say hello. Lord, we think of the many people throughout our community who are lonely, who are hurting, who have those prayer requests, but no one to share them with. Lord, have mercy. Help us, Lord, to be your healers, even as we are wounded ourselves. Lord, we think of all those who grieve recent loss, those who grieve loss of long ago, those who grieve the state of loss that we live in now, the worry. Lord, have mercy. We pray that your Holy Spirit would be upon us in such a way that we would be aware of your love. Help each person here to experience your love in such a way that it changes how we love other people. Lord, shine so brightly that your light shines out of us into the world, so that others might see you and come to know your life-changing love. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. My friends, I invite you to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
I will be reading from 1 Corinthians Chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Thank you, Pastor Tim, for leading us in worship this morning with those beautiful worship songs. And thank you, Sister Ruth, for reading to us from the scriptures from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Our message, knowing nothing except Christ. Allow me to begin by reading from the Eugene Peterson interpretation, just the first five verses. Ruth read to us many more of those verses. You will remember, friends, that when I first came to you to let you in on God's master stroke, I didn't try to impress you with polished speeches and the latest philosophy. I deliberately kept it plain and simple. First Jesus and who he is. Then Jesus and what he did. Jesus crucified. I was unsure of how to go about this and felt totally inadequate. I was scared to death, if you want to know the truth. And so nothing I said could have impressed you or anyone else. But the message came through anyway. God's Spirit and God's power did it, which made it clear that your life of faith is a response to God's power and not to some fancy mental or emotional footwork by me or anyone else. The first five verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And so this morning I would like to take you on just a brief journey through the first five verses of this significant text. Our message, knowing nothing except Christ. In the first verse, we have the preacher and his purpose. He begins, "When I came to you, sisters and brothers..." Please understand that Paul is using these words deliberately, giving clearly to his audience, the recipients of this letter, what the core, what the center of the message that we are to proclaim, that we are to model, that we are to live. Interesting in the context of this chapter, the beginning chapter, chapter 1, and verse 24, Paul underscores this truth that we will be making this morning. Christ is the power of God, and it is the wisdom of God. Chapter 1 and verse 24. You see, when the Apostle Paul arrived in Corinth, he preached that Jesus was the Christ. Acts chapter 18 and verse 5. And there was a deliberate refusal to use the rhetoric, the philosophical argumentations of the so-called learned. The purpose of the preacher was to declare the testimony of God, God's word. One of my favorite theologians of the 20th century, an Englishman named John Stott, associated with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, John Stott made this comment: "We preachers have no right to preach our own message." Oh, it's true today, sadly, that many churches are looking for men and women who will become their minister, having expertise in a variety of fields, whether it's counseling, administration, management, social services, hands-on field work. Oh, it wouldn't hurt to have maybe a stand-up comedian or an entertainer.
But the context of the passage that we have read this morning teaches us that human wisdom, human skills, motivating, facilitating, cannot give to us the most important thing, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, referring back to chapter 1 and verse 30, the Apostle Paul wrote these words, "It is because of Him, God, that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us the wisdom of God." That is our righteousness, our holiness, our redemption. Paul said, "When I came to you, I preached the testimony of God, as it has been fleshed out in the lives of men and women and boys and girls." In verse 31 of chapter 1, Paul says, "Let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." We do not come to church to hear. You did not come here to church this morning to hear me preach and give you my opinions with regards to politics or psychology or economics or business, my favorite television programs. None of that. None of that was something that you came here to hear. Well, maybe I'll share just my opinions just this once. The Maple Leafs will be back in the playoffs. Hondas are the best built cars. And the Blue Jays will be in the hunt this year for the World Series. But let me reiterate, returning to our text. God's Word, just a portion of that psalm that Brother Ron read to us in our call to worship, Psalm 119, just a few verses, emphasize the Word of God. Thank you for reading that to us this morning, Ron. It is the Word of God that edifies and sanctifies and unites and glorifies. And you see, we all have our opinions. We all are, to a degree, persuasive in our words. It's interesting that some years later, after the Apostle Paul's faithful ministry within Asia Minor, within Corinth, Paul was able to write later on in his relationship with the church at Corinth, he was able to say, "We have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception. We do not distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every person's conscience in the sight of God." 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 12. Make it plain. Make it simple. How thankful I am as the preachers give the theme to our children's story time. They pick up on the theme of the worship music and of the scriptures, and they share the story with the children in a simple language, in simple words that all of us can appreciate and grasp and incorporate into our lives. Are we as a church setting forth the truth of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ plainly? Or are we guilty of distorting it or twisting it or changing it somewhat? Oh, it's true that preachers do often have the gift of the gab. Have I used my ability to speak to put forward my personal agenda, persuading people, overseeing, restructuring things? Paul warned the young preacher Timothy, and it serves as a good reminder for all of us, St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church. Paul warned Timothy, and he advised him and said, "The time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a number of teachers that will say things that will just scratch where they itch. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths and stories."
2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3. We have to be on our guard that we keep the main thing. We live in an age when often the purpose of the preacher is to give people what they want to hear. Paul says, I'm going to have none of that. The purpose of the preacher is to present the testimony of God, with the central message being the person of Christ and Him crucified. We preach, we sing the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We boast in the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The preacher, verse 1, and his purpose. We move on to verse 2, the person of Christ. Paul says, I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. When, as a church, you extended to me during the interim period without a lead pastor, you gave to me an opportunity for which I will always be so grateful, so thankful. You invited me to come and be one of the preachers. You didn't invite me to come to offer agricultural advice, medical advice. You didn't need me to stand up here and offer you my political opinions. For 22 months, as of the end of August, it has been my privilege to proclaim the message of the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, I give thanks to God that in the purpose of God for my life, I have been ordained, installed, set apart as a minister of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul reminded the Christian community of his singleness of purpose. This is what I'm doing. This is why I'm here. This is what I'm being called to do, to deliver to you. Paul wrote earlier that the cross was referred to as a serious stumbling block for Jews. And it was foolishness. The cross was foolishness for Gentiles. Yet still, Paul pressed it. He stressed it. It must never, ever be watered down, compromised, dismissed, or viewed as being non-essential. The person and the work of Jesus Christ must be presented in its full, glorious splendor. He was not interested in discussing men's ideas or insights or exploring other ways of finding peace with God. His own ideas were neither on his agenda nor those of others. It was all about Christ. Paul was not saying that he only wanted to hear and preach a Christ, Christ, Christ. No, indeed, he taught, as the scriptures teach us, the full counsel of God. Acts 20, verse 27. He ministered in Corinth for a year and a half, teaching the word of God among them. Acts 18, verse 11. The entire word of God was being proclaimed. Paul knew that the cross of Christ needed to be responded to, accepted, and applying the work of the accomplishment of Jesus Christ in our lives. My prayer is that Jesus Christ would be seen and heard through all of the teaching, the storytelling, our education program within our congregation, and the preaching and the singing from our church. Let me summarize the purpose of the preacher is to present the centrality of the message of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the most profound and prolific theologians, pastors of the 20th century, a German theologian, Karl Barth, B-A-R-T-H, Karl Barth. He probably taught in all of your prestigious universities around the world and in their seminaries. His Summa Theologica, his Church Dogmatics, 31 thick volumes that many seminary students would be acquainted with. The Doctrines of the Christian Church. On one occasion, Karl Barth was lecturing at the University of Chicago, and a young theologian, during the question and answer period, stood up and said, "Dr. Barton, could you please summarize what the church's message is for our generation?" One of the most learned men in the Christian church responded, "Jesus loves me." Sing with me.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, lovely. Yes, Jesus loves me, lovely. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me.
So we have the preacher and the message. We have the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And just for a wee moment, in verse 3, we have the personality of Paul. Paul must have thought, as he prepared to pen these words, "Do I really want to put these words down on paper?" But he wrote to the church and he said in verse 3, "I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling." Well, many have studied the Apostle Paul and maybe compared him to Apollos, because the church at Corinth, there were divisions. There were some in the congregation that said, "Well, Paul's okay, but Apollos, he had the total package. He was well put together." The Apostle Paul said, "Well, I came to you trembling. I came to you in weakness." And biographies of the Apostle Paul have suggested that he was a slight man. He was a weak man. We read about the man himself. He worked tirelessly at a trade. He was beaten. He had an impediment when he spoke. I have a hunch that in part Paul was overwhelmed by the work of the ministry of proclaiming this gospel. And when he showed up in Corinth, his hands were probably cold too. I don't know how many of you, when you would shake my hand on a Sunday morning, you say, "Oh, Paul, your hands are freezing." Well, that's a little bit to do with the nervousness, with the huge weight of responsibility to hold your attention for a few moments and share the gospel story of the day. The personality of Paul. But we move on to the triumph of the power of the Spirit in verse 4. In demonstration, Paul writes, of the Spirit's power. It's not my words. It's certainly not my eloquence or lack of it. But it's in demonstration of the Spirit's power. If there has been decisions made, if there have been lives that have been challenged, if people have been motivated to follow Jesus, to serve Jesus, to be the hands and the feet and the voice of Jesus, it's because of the Spirit's power at work in our lives. It's the operation of the Spirit's power that opens hearts to believe and to receive the gospel. And so we pray, Spirit of the living God, open hearts that the gift of faith might be received by children, by youth, by adults, and they may experience the grace of God that allows Christ to fill a life and to touch others. One great Bible commentator from the past wrote, "Paul laid down the doctrine as the Spirit of God delivered it, and let the Spirit demonstrate the truth of it. The preachers and the purpose, the person of Christ, the personality of Paul, the power of the Spirit of God at work. And finally, in verse 5, we have the produced faith. The produced faith. It is God at work using divine power that produces faith in our lives. Not human pressure, not human persuasiveness. Paul wrote, Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. The power of the gospel is in the cross, not in our persuasiveness. I need to remind you again that when Paul wrote, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. The treasure that is in these earthen clay jars is the gospel. Each of us, a vessel, a recipient of that glorious gospel. God, in sovereign power, by His Spirit, has chosen to use us, as we like to occasionally say, yes, even cracked pots, to communicate the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. May each of us be poured out, sharing the gospel of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Pastor Tim.
I've learned to use magnets outside after losing my papers a few times. This song is a little more familiar. This tune is older than we have memories for. It has been sung in many languages. You're welcome to sing it whatever language you're comfortable in. The lyrics I have for you there are the traditional English ones. It's Come Thou Fount. Come now, fount.
Come now, fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some
Praise the mount
I'm fixed upon it, mount of God's unchanging love.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace. Amen. Go in peace.